praise him, all creatures. They're not coming back. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Did I do all right? Did I do all right? Okay. I just ask, as Glory will tell me later, don't do that anymore. So. Hallelujah. All right. I'm trying to find my notes here. Here it is. So this is the last Sunday of our series, and then next Sunday we're going to start another series. I don't even know how long it'll be, but it'll be short, but Turning Point. Yeah, I know. Turning Point. Because how many believe we're at a turning point in this nation? I've never seen anything like it. In all my years, I've never seen anything like what's going on right now. Right now. Praise God. You know, the number of people watching us on Facebook has more than doubled since this happened. People are curious about what the Lord is going to do. Attendance this morning is great. God, how many know he's in charge? Hallelujah. So this is the last message. I'm going to call it Nike, and you may not know what that means, but that means you just have to stay long enough to hear what that means. Psalm 23, the last two verses, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely, surely, most assuredly, another way of saying it, goodness and mercy, whew, not just follow, but will pursue me. I tell you, God's chasing you down with blessings. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. For what a safe place. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Say forever. I told you last week, I think, that our victory is not accomplished because of the absence of trouble. We live victorious because of who is with us. We experience victory because he is with us. We are not alone. And I used the illustration of quicksand, right? That nobody actually dies from the quicksand. It's just the science of how quicksand works, that it'll suck you in and hold you, but you won't sink all the way. That's TV. You will just go so far and stop. So, well, how do people die then? They die because of the struggle. Because of the exposure. Because there's no one there to get them out. If you fall into quicksand, the only solution is another person. And I'm telling you, the only solution to life is to have the arm of the Lord pulling us out of the quicksand. Woo! Glory to God! I know I used that illustration before, but it's so good. Amen. Numbers 11:23, and the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether I say will happen to you or not. Sometimes the Lord just says, stand by. You're about to see something. Amen. Isaiah joins in 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Ah, let me tell you something. We have the victory because we live in his house. Oh, you missed a good place to shout. How can you not have victory when you're living in his house? We're family. Punch someone and say, we're family. Hallelujah. You know, one man said this, and it has stuck with me. And he says, we are not defined by our scars. We are defined by his. The ushers are coming back. You are not defined by your past. You are not defined by your condition. You are not defined by your faults. You're not defined by your history. You're not defined by other people's opinion of you. You're not defined by all the gossip going on around. You are not defined by any of that nonsense. You have some scars. You have a past, but you're not defined by that past. You are defined by the scars of Jesus. Oh, come on and shout, praise the Lord. This is better preaching than y'all letting on, amen. God's good? All the time. Woo! It's Nike. What is Nike? Wherever you see in the New Testament the word victory, say victory, that is translated by the Greek word Nike. Now you know. When they came out with the Nike tennis shoes, they were looking for a name, and they came up with this word, Nike, which is Greek for victory. And the little swoosh, by the way, Nike was the Greek goddess of victory. So they came up with, and she has these wings on. So they came up with this little thing. So, in effect, if you're wearing Nikes today, you're wearing a demonic symbol. But anyway, there's the real reason I didn't put them on this morning. Yeah, I'm too cranked up today. Okay. Woo! Hallelujah. But it is the word that the New Testament uses for victory. The Nike. Literally, the translation, it means conquest or the means of success. So when the Greek says we have the victory, I want you to emphasize that it's not a victory. It's the victory. There is only one, and it's Jesus Christ. There's not even different kinds of victory. You either got it or you don't. Woo! It's not just victory once in a while and when things go bad. It's something you live in and dwell in every day of your life. You don't have a victory. You have the victory. Capital V. And it's Jesus. Give him a praise. Amen. Woo! 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the Nike. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. John joins in. There's so many scriptures. But John 5:4 said, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the Nike. This is the victory that has overcome our world, our faith. You just got to believe it. You don't have to work it up. You don't need a strategy. Come on. It's not like you got to pray for 50 hours. It's your faith. You either trust him or you don't. And if you trust him, you have the victory. Woo, hallelujah. The revelation I got from the Lord a couple weeks ago, I've been dwelling on this and dwelling on this. You know, I'm a student of history. And the Lord took me back to World War II on D-Day. Y'all know what D-Day is. The day that they invaded Europe. And the Holy Spirit told me that's exactly how the Spirit works. I said, what? He said, there are stages to the war. The first stage is you have to have a beachhead. Remember? D-Day. They came ashore. That was the biggest worry. That was the easiest moment the Germans could have thrown them back into the sea. Because you can only get so many people in so big a space. But listen, your walk with God. We could use this illustration as your whole salvation experience, but also different, you know, individual experiences as you go along. But it all starts with a breakthrough. You need a beachhead. And then, so we establish a beachhead in the Spirit. The reason I'm telling you this is because you need to know how your victory works. Okay? And it starts small and spreads. So the first thing you need to do in prayer is you need to get that breakthrough. And I think a lot of times that breakthrough is just a realization that I am more than a conqueror. The beachhead is, we're going to do this. We're going to win this battle. And that's your beachhead. But once the enemy sees a beachhead, then everything starts. Right? That's why sometimes you get that breakthrough and say, yeah, I'm here. And the devil says, yeah, they're here. And he starts focusing on everything to stop you. But you know what happened on D-Day. They weren't stopped. They spread. Phase two. They invaded, right, in France, in Normandy. And the first goal, listen, was to take back what the enemy took. So the first thing that happens with your victory is he starts helping you take back what the Lord, what the enemy has already. Y'all remember that song? Took back what he stole from me, right? That's all I remember. Amen. I can never be a worship leader. The only song I know is Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. It's the only one I can remember the words to. I don't know how you do it, Jason. Whew. But anyway, here it goes. They start marching through France, and they took back what the enemy took. So after your beachhead, then all of a sudden you start taking your health back. You start taking your finances back. You start taking your loved ones back. All that stuff that the enemy stole from you, you start claiming in the name of Jesus. You start marching and you take back what you know belongs to you. But that's not the end of the story. Because at some point they got to the German border. And it's called the Rhine River. And they got to the Rhine River. And listen, if you know anything about military strategy, it's always difficult to cross a big river. You got to find a bridge, or you need boats, or somehow they made pontoon bridges. They did all kinds of stuff. It's difficult. Not only is it just difficult to get across, but the enemy can defend it. Come on. All they got to do is sit on the other side. And it's easy to defend a river crossing. It's a big deal. But they knew if they could cross the Rhine, they'd be in Germany's homeland. Oh, come on, church. Well, you know from history, they did cross the Rhine. Step three. What's number one? Beachhead. Number two, take back what the enemy has stolen from you. But step three is take things that belong to the enemy. I want to get to that place where I start taking what the devil has. It don't even belong to me. I know that's bad English. It doesn't even belong to me. But the enemy's holding it, and I can take it in Jesus' name. Oh, somebody needs to. Woo! Hallelujah! And they marched across Germany. And I want you to get this last one. They finally got to Berlin. And over in the Pacific, they got to Iwo Jima, right? And here's what they did on Iwo Jima, this famous, famous picture, if they have it. When they finally won that horrible battle. Remember this? What are they doing? Raising the flag. The flag says it's ours. It's ours. Listen, don't make light of these kids up here. Say, what are they waving all those banners for? That's the victory, folks. Come on. Say, why do you have flags in worship? Right there's why. In the name of Jesus, we claim the victory. We put our flag in it. And it's no longer German territory. It's our territory. Woo! In Berlin, the Red Army was the first ones there. And this was a really big deal for them. They really wanted to get this photograph. And they did. They climbed up to this city. And maybe we have that picture. And when they finally conquered Berlin, look at that guy way up there. Way on the top. He planted the flag over Berlin. And they said, this is ours now. Come on, church. The final step is to put your flag in some things. And say, not only did I conquer it, but I'm going to keep it. Not only am I going to keep it, but I'm going to rule and reign in it. Whew. Come on, church. That's where we need to be. Can I get an amen? This victory, and I'm almost done, this victory is characterized by the Word of God. Can I give you some scripture? Can I give you a lot of scripture? I'm just going to give you some scripture, and you know I'm going to comment on each one. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to what? Pulling down strongholds. Casting arguments. Have you ever argued with yourself? Be honest. I can do that. No, you can't. Yes, I can. No, you can't. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Sometimes you need to just tell the devil that ain't true. You're a liar and the father of it. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's those stray thoughts that want to send you off in a different direction. Sometimes you just need to say, ah, back here. Capture that thought. Oh, no, I'm not going to make it. Capture it. Lock it up and throw away the key. Ha! I'll never survive this. Capture it. You need to just actually do it in your mind. Just say, I capture that wrong thought, that negative thought, that evil thought. I capture it in Jesus' name. I lock it up. It has no authority over me. Am I preaching to anybody today? I got my Skechers on. I'll run if I have to. I'll save it for the end because I'll be tired afterwards. Say amen. Wow, wow. How about another scripture? Here's what you got to do. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren. This is chapter 4. So when Paul says finally, it doesn't mean anything. He was a real preacher. I think he had two more finallys after that. But finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, how about pure? How about lovely? How about good report? If there's any good thing, if there's any virtue to it, anything praiseworthy, meditate. Meditate on these things. The problem with today's world is too many people are meditating on the negative. They're not meditating on the good word of God. They're not meditating on the promises of God. They're not reading the scriptures and applying and locking them up within us. Come on. It's time to get into the Word. I'm telling you, the Word is powerful. Come on. How about Isaiah chapter 30? I like this. This is from the Passion Translation. When you turn to the right or turn to the left, you will hear His voice behind you to guide you, saying, this is the right path. Follow it. Do I go to the right? Do I go to the left? Oh, what? Say what, Lord? Oh, go to the right. Never go to the left. I'm sorry. Bad pastor. Say amen anyway. How about moving on? Psalm 27. My heart will not fear, even if an army rises to attack. I will not be shaken, even if war is imminent. Here's the one thing. Say one thing. I crave from Yahweh. The one thing I seek above all else. Who wants to know the answer? I want to live with him every moment in his house. Say one thing. Not a bunch of things. One thing. Whew. I just want to dwell in his house. Doing what? Beholding the marvelous beauty of Yahweh. Filled with awe. Delighting in his glory and grace. Woo. I want to contemplate, meditate in his temple. You know, there's that image, and I believe it's Isaiah, where the angels are just, the only thing they're saying is glory, glory, glory. Now, I know some of us would think, man, that would get old. But it's implying that that's all they say for eternity. Wouldn't that get boring? Just glory. Can't you throw in a hallelujah once in a while? No, because you know why? You know what's happening? Those two angels, they keep looking at the throne. They keep looking at the glory and the majesty of God. And they keep, like a diamond, they keep seeing a different facet. And for all eternity, listen, you're never going to get bored with God. People say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to know everything. No, you won't, dummy, and you don't now. I want you to get this. You're going to spend eternity discovering God. And those angels just keep looking, and they go, glory. Then the other one says, glory. And they just keep going around, glory. And for all eternity, I think we're going to be looking at the presence of God and say, glory. Come on, church! What is glory? Glory is what is heavy. Glory is what is important. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Finding the sweet loveliness of his face, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to live my life so close to him that he takes pleasure in my every prayer. Can I get an amen? Whew, I think there's a couple more. In his shelter in the day of trouble. That's where you'll find me, for he hides me there in his holiness. I said he hides you. When the devil comes a knocking, you can forget his stalking. Because we be a flocking. I'm done. We ain't ducking. No, that doesn't rhyme. He'll come knocking at your door. I'm looking for Will. No one's home. Deal with me, devil. Because we're hiding in the secret place. Say, I'm in the secret place. Out of reach. Say, I'm out of reach. Triumphant now, I'll bring him my offerings of praise, singing and shouting with ecstatic joy. Yes, listen, and you can hear the fanfare of my shouts of praise to the Lord. Glory to God. Whew. I want to talk about honor, but I'll save that. But listen, let me answer the question. What can we give him for all he's done? You have nothing that would impress him. The truth of the matter is the only thing you really have that he enjoys is your praise. It's the only thing he responds to. It's the only thing he values from you is your praise, your worship. You say, well, does God need? No, he doesn't need your praise. But he knows what happens when you praise. When you praise, it opens doors. It opens opportunities. It releases the power of the Holy Spirit. When you bring praise, he releases presence. He said, well, what if I don't want to praise him? Then you got issues because you're making it all about you when it's really all about him. Come on, shout and give him a praise. Woo! Psalm 27:8. I heard your voice in my heart. Say, in my heart. Say, come seek my face. My inner being responded, Yahweh, I'm seeking your face with all my heart. God. Verse 14, same chapter. Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Whew, my God, anybody else feel him in the house? Be entwined as one with the Lord. My God, I'm shaking all over. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, yes, keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. Come on, one more time, shout to the Lord. You want more word? Let's go over to Psalm 34. Lord, I'm bursting with joy over what you've done for me. My lips are full of perpetual praise. Whew. Now you can say amen to that, but that's how you need to live. Pastor, that's how I live. You sure didn't look at coming in this morning. Whenever you look more like Eeyore than Tigger, you're in problems. Oh, bother. I lost my tail. You need to be like Tigger. Wish the kids were here. Amen. Always positive, full of energy, bouncing around. How long do you want me to bounce? I could do it. I better stretch first. Say amen. Where was I? Tigger. I literally have an Eeyore and a Tigger in my office. Verse 3 and 4. Join me, everyone. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's make him famous. Let's make his name glorious to all. Listen to my testimony. I cried to God in my distress, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Is that your testimony? Jump down to verse 7. The angel of Yahweh stooped down to listen as I prayed. That's Jesus. Encircling me, empowering me, showing me how to escape. Is this word helping anybody? He will do this for everyone who fears God. Drink deeply of the pleasures of this God. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies he gives to all who turn to hide themselves in him. It's not about you doing anything. It's about you hiding in him. I got one amen, but I'll wait a minute. Got two. God is good. How about verse 15, same chapter? The Lord sees all we do. He watches over his friends day and night. His godly ones receive the answers they seek whenever they cry out to him. Verse 17. How many know we need to read chapter 34? By the way, I gave you this. Seven scriptures, 7 days. Put it on your refrigerator, and all this week, I want you to read, recite, dwell on, meditate on each of these scriptures. And I'm telling you, next Sunday, and then maybe keep it next week as well. How many will do that? Anyway, these are the scriptures that I think that are going to touch your heart. So get into the Word. Mm-hmm. Verse 17, yet when holy lovers of God cry out to him with all their hearts, the Lord will hear them and come to rescue them from all their troubles. How many believe the Word? The Lord is close to all whose hearts are crushed by pain. And he is always ready to restore the repentant one. Even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. Nike! We have the victory. Stand to your feet and give him a praise. Woo! Hallelujah!